Lord truly has been good to us this evening already. Be able to join together as we have and sing and offer the prayer that's been offered and be able to join together with our brother as he prays. I feel like the Lord truly blessed the praying. And feel better about the service right now because of that. I do ask you just to continue to pray. Ask the Lord's blessing on this meeting as we look together for a little while at a portion of His Word. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I'd like to begin reading tonight from the Gospel of Mark and begin reading in verse chapter 5, right at the very first verse of Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. Forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. They that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. They that went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. They that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. They began to pray him to depart out of their coast. When he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. We have another account of this in the book of Matthew, in chapter 8. And also in Luke chapter 8. We'll look at Matthew chapter 8 because Matthew chapter 8 tells us there wasn't just one that was here, but rather there were two. Some have used that to try to point out the errors and contradictions in the Word of God and want us to understand there is no errors or contradictions in God's Word. If you read Mark, you will see that Mark didn't say there was only one. He just said there was one, but he didn't. He didn't say there weren't two. He didn't say there was only one. He pointed out the one that stood out more prominent, more importantly to him than the other. But Matthew lets us know that there were two. And we read in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 28, he says, And when he was come to the other side of the country of the Gergesenes, Mark tells us the Gadarenes, this says the Gergesenes, and if you look at that on a map, you'll see that the country of the Gadarenes and the country of the Gergesenes were two cities real close together. And so in that area between the Gergesenes and the Gadarenes, there were these men, that lived in the country of the Gergesenes, and would almost be like talking about the same area, the same place. And that's exactly what's going on here. It says, there met him two possessed with devils. Now we know from this, Matthew gives us, by the inspiration of God, there were two possessed with devils. Mark says one, but he didn't say only one. He points out one more importantly. There were two that were possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass that way. Now, you would not say these men are neutral as far as their actions and their behaviors. They're not just minding their own business. They're not just there madmen in the sense that they didn't bother other people. They were, if they were in this community, those that would be harming and hurting everybody they could, as much as they could, as much as they would be able to. They were possessed with devils, and they were there to do men harm. Even here, it says these men were exceeding fierce. They weren't just fierce, they were exceeding fierce. And they were threatening others. They were there so that no man might pass that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" That's an additional thing we have that you don't have in Mark that's really wonderful, because there is a time where the devils are going to completely and totally answer to the Lord. You know, a lot of people get an idea that the devil is of equal power with the Lord, and you can serve one God, the devil, or you can serve the Lord, and you're talking about equal powers, equal forces, and there's nothing that could be farther from the truth. Now, there is a devil who is our adversary. There are wicked spirits in this world, wicked spirits. Our warfare in this world is not with flesh and blood, but against evil spirits and forces. And we see those forces in this world today. They are demonic forces. There are demons, and there are evil spirits and unclean spirits in this world today. And we see that that is true. But little children of God, one thing we can learn from this lesson is that you and I do not have to fear and walk in this world in fear because of that. And it's very frightful if you don't understand. The greater is he, John 4, 1 John 4, 4 says, I believe it is, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If it's not right there, it's close. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I tell you, that makes me feel a great deal of peace tonight. You look at this world, and sometimes it seems the devil has been loose for a little season. It seems like the forces of evil are ruling and reigning. It seems like in the midst of governments, in the midst of all that's going on in this world, we just see the activity of the old adversary. But I want us to understand and know tonight that unlike God, who is everywhere present and nowhere absent, we can prove from this text, the devil's not that. And unlike God, who has all power, the devil doesn't. And unlike God, who wants us, unlike the devil, who wants to do us harm, we have a God who has more power, who wants to do us, and not only wants to, he doesn't want to, he does us good. We have a God who doesn't want. We have a God who speaks and it stands fast. We have a God who purposes. We have a God who has declared the end from the beginning, and there's a time appointed, and the devils know it. There's a time appointed time that they will be cast in that place that is prepared for the devil and his angels. There's a place of eternal torment, everlasting fire that we read about in Matthew 25 that is not only for those that are not of the elect family of God, but also for that place of torment prepared for the devil and his angels. And hell is just as real a place as heaven. And if it were not for the grace of God, we'd be afraid of that place. And certainly there's a fear that's in our hearts. I thought, oh, woe, that I would ever go there and be cast away from the presence of God. And the good news tonight is, because of a God who's greater than the devil, and because of one who's taken us out of the captivity we were in under the dominion and of Satan and the influences of the devil and of the flesh, and under the law of sin and death, we have one who's delivered us out from that and brought us unto the law of liberty, under the law of grace. Thanks be to God, greater is the Lord than the devil. Now, the world's argument is that the devil wants you. and the Lord wants you, and you're really the one who has to make the choice between who you're going to follow. And that's all mixed up, because first of all, it's got the devil and the Lord the same, and it's got man bigger than both of them. And the Bible will show us very clearly that if it's just us and the devil, we are under the captivity of the devil. We have taken ensnared by him and held by him, and in order for us to be loose from him, a man stronger than the strong man has to come. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ, who was able to deliver us from the influences and the bondage of, from death, hell, and the grave. If it had not been for the Lord and what he did for us, there'd be no hope for us tonight. And what I'm thankful to preach to you tonight is that we had a Lord who not only wanted to do it, but had the power to do it, who sent his Son to get it done. The Son finished the work. And here we have proof that this was the Son of God. Listen, the devils who will be under his dominion and in torment knew who he was. Isn't that something? Men didn't know who he was, didn't acknowledge him, didn't recognize him. But the devils who knew who he was, they worshipped him. They didn't worship him in a way to declare him Lord or worship him as their Savior. Tonight I hope we worship him in a way different than the devils worshipped him. I hope we're there at his feet saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I hope we're begging and looking to him, Lord, forgive me of my sins. These devils worshipped him in that they acknowledge you have more power. Thou hast more power than we do. And whatever you say, that's where we got to go. Aren't you glad that the old devil can't go any farther or do any more than the Lord suffers him for the moment to do? And even in that, even as he came to Job, remember, the Lord had Job hedged in, and there was only so far that the devil could go. And he suffered him to go only so far in the sense that it ultimately worked even then to the praise and the adoration and the glory of God. I'm glad God's in control tonight. And whether I knew that or whether I'm happy about it, it's still the truth. But I'm telling you, I'm glad to be able to declare tonight, and I hope it makes you happy to know that the Lord's on the throne. If I didn't say it, he'd still be on the throne. I didn't put him on the throne. I'm just declaring that he is on the throne. And our declaring it together doesn't put him on the throne. What it does, though, it makes us happy to be able to declare that in this old evil, troubled world, and we mentioned a whole lot of problems tonight, a whole lot of things that could really break your heart and cause you to be overwhelmed. Little children, be of good cheer. He's overcome the world. Be of good cheer. He's a great physician. Be of good cheer. He's my strength. He's my very present help in the time of trouble. He is the one who knew exactly where this man who was desperately in need of help, though he didn't know it, desperately in captivity, though he didn't know it, he knew right where he was, and he had come that way through a storm, by the way. He had ridden on the Sea of Galilee in a storm with his disciples to come to the other side, because there were two men that were going to be coming that way, and those men had in their minds, by the influence of the devil, whether the devils were leading or how that really worked, I'm not going to go into somewhere beyond what the scripture allows me to know. But I do know this, they were coming not to do, I don't believe if they'd known Jesus was right, they didn't know everything, did they? Because if they'd have known that had been Jesus, I'll guarantee the old devil would have been going the other way. I know what he does in the presence of the Lord. If you lean and trust in the Lord and you resist the devil by trusting and leaning in the Lord, you know what the Bible says? He will not hang around a while. He'll flee from you. And the one of the best place we can do to keep him out of this church and out of their influencing us in this church is draw near to God and look to him and lean upon him. Don't trust in the flesh. He loves to deal in the flesh. Don't lean upon your own understanding. He loves to influence that. You trust in the Lord and in his word. And as you draw nigh to God, the Bible says he'll draw nigh to you. And as you resist the devil, the Bible says he'll flee from you. And though our problems are great tonight, we have the one who took a wild Gadarene, put him in his right mind, clothed him up, set him at the feet of Jesus, and made that little boy have some friends in this world that he could go along and live his life with. And I'm telling you, his life was a mess. You might feel like my life's a mess tonight. We all look at our lives sometimes and we think, how did I get in this spot and how am I going to get out? How am I going to make it? And you can have things going pretty good and get that way. If you start looking at life in the flesh, you can think, well, how did I get here? Oh, if I'd have made this decision. Oh, if I'd have done that. Or oh, if I'd have gone some other way. Listen, the God He has compassed your path. He has been with you, not causing you to do the evil things of this world. But listen, He's been that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He is what a friend we do have in Jesus. He is, His hand is, and His activity is evident in our lives. It's grace that's brought us safe this far. It'll be grace that leads us on. And I'm telling you, it's grace from one who's real. The Lord Jesus Christ is real. He's real and present with us here tonight. And the God the Father is having communion with us here tonight. The Holy Spirit is in our hearts. And we're having communion of the Holy Spirit. When we love Him, we sit with Him. He abodes with us. He makes His mansion with us. That's what that word, He makes His abode with us. That word literally means, you know, in my Father's house are many mansions. If you look that word up just from the translation, the word mansions there is the same as abode. And that word later that comes up and is written as abode is the same as the word mansion. It's a place where we have His fellowship. That's one day is going to be a glorious place over there when He makes His abode with us at home in glory. But also every time He makes His abode with us right here in this world. How many times has happened at a little church where you sit there and you're worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth? Or it's happened in your car as you're riding down the road and you're just broken hearted and you say, Lord, help me. And you feel His presence. Or it's happened in a hospital room, even as a doctor gives you the bad news. Or as you get the good news, whichever way. And you can feel the Lord. I've seen the Lord take a family that was broken and torn up. And then in His presence, heal them and bring them and make them whole. Listen, we have a God who can who changes life. I don't want to be like the one who says, Lord, if Thou canst, You can heal me. I want to be the one that says, Lord, it isn't if Thou canst. I know He can. He can do all things that He wills to do if it is His will. And if it's not His will, He'll deliver me another way. He knew exactly where this little brother was and He knew what he needed. And he said, there was a good, and behold, they cried out saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, Thou Son of God? Art Thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from, I had heard of many swine feeding. Sometimes I've lost the picture here, though. You know, I see a little herd of swine. I'm thinking, you know, 100, 200. That's 2,000 swine. That's a lot of pig. I mean, I think that's a whole lot of, you know, that's a whole lot of sausage. That's a lot. 2,000 swine. And there they were, those. And there's, you know, if there were Jews raising these swine, they ought not have been raising them because they weren't supposed. It was unlawful under the ceremonial law and under the law for them to eat the swine, much less to raise the swine to be eaten. And if they were raising them, they were going to sell them to the Gentiles. And if the Gentiles were, you know, they were doing that for greed, and it certainly wouldn't be, you know, if something God said was unlawful and we went into that business in order to provide it for somebody, that didn't seem right. That didn't seem like a way to be. If it were Gentiles, well, God sure made a proof, didn't He? When He took all these 2,000 swines, listen, something came out of that man because it went in those pigs. Somebody said, well, He just said He had those devils. Listen, we have evidence He had those devils. Because those devils didn't just come out of Him, they went into something else. And they went in, you wonder, why would Jesus, you know, I think, why did Jesus allow them or suffer them to go into the swine? Listen, I may never know why He did it, but I know this, He had a purpose in it. Isn't it good to know we got a God who doesn't do anything without a purpose? He isn't like me or you who sit there and sometimes we think, let's try this, or maybe this will work, or maybe this plan might work. And usually we get in the middle of it and we gotta reflect. And that's one thing you do as a teacher. They give you you got a plan, you write down your plan at the beginning of the year, and then in the midway they say, we want you to look at your plan and reflect on your plan and see if you needed to make some adjustments. And almost every time, they're expecting you to show you where you need. You know why? Because men need to adjust their plan all the time. You know why? Because we're imperfect. We plan imperfect. We carry out the plan imperfectly. We don't design things like God designs things. We don't do things like God does things. We don't have the power that God does. But I'm telling you what, we've got a God who is in the heavens, who has a perfect will and works His will among the army of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay His hand or say, "What doest thou?" And therefore, to be able to believe that my salvation is in His hands rather than in my hands, what a peace there is in that. Now, brethren, I'm going to tell you tonight, that's true whether you believe it or not, but I want you to believe it because I want you to be at rest and at peace about your eternal home that is in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people tonight feeling like they've got to reflect on the plan and make sure it's all in place. And listen, if we had part in it, we would have to do that. And we'd have to be continually adjusting. I'm not saying there's not some growth for us to do in this time world, because we are supposed to do that. As we are God's little children, we should constantly go to the book and look at it as our guide and see in our life where I need to pull off some old gray clothes and put on my obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, where I need to take off some of my will and some of my want. And we are constantly going to have to do that. And the more we learn from His Word, the more we gain from His Word, the more we're going to see that we need to do that. But aren't you thankful as far as heaven is concerned, when Jesus said it is finished, it was finished and it's done. And do not let any man or devil rob you of that peace, of that joy, of that rest that just comes in saying, "He loved me enough to die for me. And He took my sins in His own body. And He paid that debt for me. And because of that, I am trusting that when I die and leave this old world, I'll go home to be with Him. And that He who went away is going to come again. And He's going to gather up this old body and He's going to change it in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and fashion it like unto His own glorious body. And my soul and spirit at the moment of death is going to be immediately carried into the very presence of the Lord. And those of our loved ones who are gone, listen, they're not out there in the cemeteries up here on the hill at Front Royal. Their bodies are there, yes. And their bodies are asleep, maybe scattered all over this world. But I'm telling you, we have a God who has the power to change the life of a Gadarene. We have a God who is able to call the sleeping dead from the dust and gather them together. He not only has the power to do it, one day He will. As a matter of fact, He's already proven that He can. What a God we have tonight. Who are we going to liken Him to? Isaiah, who would you liken the Lord unto? You know, a lot of people want to make a picture of Him. You can't, you know, that's why those golden calves didn't hold up in the Old Testament, because men said, "We need to see this God," and they tried to make a picture like Him. Some people want to make a picture of our Savior and say, "That's who He is." Listen, we don't know, you know, there's a reason we don't know. God, there's a reason, because I'm telling you, you want to see a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, turn to the first chapter of the book of Revelation and just read about the glories of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Him, the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. I'm telling you, He's everything. He's our everything. That's the one who walked up here on the shores, or the one who walked to the wild Gadarene came to. It says, "So the devils besought Him, saying, 'If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine.' And He said unto them, 'Go.' And He gave them permission." Notice they couldn't go until He said, "Go." I'm way ahead of my, you know, I'm at the end of this. I want to start at the beginning. I always seem to have started it somewhere else. But anyway, I hope you're getting some benefit. "He said unto them, 'Go.' And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything that was befallen to the possessed of the devils." Listen, they had to explain something here. You know, "You're in charge of keeping my swine. You're in charge of them. You're in charge of feeding them." You had to have some explanation, and there was an explanation. Listen, there was one and what a mess he was in. He lived in the tombs. He had no house. He wore no clothes. That means he was exceedingly fierce. He troubled everyone that came by that way. There were his friends or whomever that tried to shackle him, put fetters on him. You've seen the chains that they put on prisoners, haven't you? The metal fetters that they put on their feet and the metal chains, and they tried to hold him captive. And he had that satanic power, that force that was in him that allowed him to do spectacular things. Sometimes men look like they've got all kinds of power. Listen, there are powers in this world that are not of the Lord. But I want you to know, compared to the Lord, they had no power at all. And then when they tried to tame him, they could not. I'm telling you, no man can help us in the state we're in nature. You want to see a picture of the unregenerate, the picture of the little child of God before the Lord works on him, before the Lord deals with him? I'm telling you, you see it here in this man. Because this man, though he looks so, sometimes we look pretty prim and proper until we look at ourselves in the light of God's Word. And when you look at ourselves in the light of God's Word, we don't see anything good about us whatsoever. We see that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We see there's none good, no, not one. We see a mouth that's full of cursing and bitterness. We see our feet that are, we see our hands and our feet and all the parts of our body, according to Romans 3, where we look at us from head to toe and there's nothing good about us. Oh, we see us doing harm to ourselves. Don't men do harm to themselves prior to the Lord working in their lives? We think, boy, I'm just living it up. I'm having a good old time in this old world. And we see them destroying their life step by step by step. And we see men applauding them as they destroy their life and lift them up and put them on a pedestal just to applaud when they fall and point out their fallings. And we see that in the activities of men. We feel that in our own nature. I'm telling you, God has a better way for us than to live like that. But we'll never know it or never see it or never understand it until the God of heaven comes and visits us just like he came here. The men of this world can't teach you different. You know, you can share this with others, but until God opens their eyes, until God unstops their ears, until God gives them makes them new creatures, until God gives them life, it is only God who could really set him free. Men tried to do it, but the power, the influence of Satan and the power that were there, there was no help for them outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, because that he had been often bound. I'm back over to Mark in chapter 5 and verse 1. He said he had his dwellings among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And I think of all the religion of this world, it's really designed, and all the philosophy of this world, and all of the ideas and thoughts of men of this world is trying to tame the unregenerate man to be something that by nature it's like a pig. You can clean him up, you can make him real pretty, you can put nice smelling perfume on him, but as soon as he gets the opportunity, he's going to go right back into the pig pen because he is by nature a pig. And listen, men by nature are sinful. It isn't just the sin problem we have, it's that the sin has come from a sinful nature, and our nature is to do wrong and to do evil. And until God works in our heart, that which isn't there before will not change ourselves. And there's no way to convince a man to change himself. And even God's little children, once they've been convicted by the grace of God, have to recognize the only hope for me is in what the Lord has done for me. And this one, he, no man could tame him. Always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. Now this is not the man worshipping him. This is the devils that were in him worshipping him. And we know that because he says this, and cried with a loud voice and says, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God?" In other words, what do I have to do with you? It isn't so much what he had to do with him as what Jesus had to do with you. I mean, in other words, it wasn't he who found Jesus. It was Jesus who found him. It was that, listen, if he could have been away from him, he would have been. He didn't have all knowledge. Aren't you glad our God has all knowledge and the devils don't? Aren't you glad our God has all power and the devil doesn't? Aren't you glad that our God is everywhere present, but the devil isn't. I'm so thankful for that. And I'm telling you, this verse certainly tells us, and these verses certainly tell us that. Here this one didn't, he knew something though that many men didn't know. And remember James said about believing and works and being justified by not only faith, but justified by works. And I don't want to get into all of that because we could be here a long time explaining that. But remember the verse where he says, you believe? Well, the devils also believe and tremble. In other words, they were able to see that Jesus had more power than they. But listen, they didn't worship him. He wasn't there as their Redeemer. He wasn't there as their Savior. He didn't come here in order to save them. He will in one day put them where they belong. And they already are like on a chain. They can go no farther than he suffers them to go. He is the one who is in power and in control. And he said this, and it says, and always day and night he was in the tombs. Let's get verse 6. But when he saw Jesus afar, he ran and worshipped him. And that means he acknowledged that thou hast more power than I do. That's how he worshipped him. And cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? Now notice who he said he was. Whew, this is good. The devil said, you're Jesus. They were looking at that man, Jesus. And who is Jesus? He's the Son of whom? The Most High God. Listen, he was the one promised in the Old Testament. He is the Son. The devils, there will be a day when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is the Lord, to the glory and the honor and the praise of God. And here we see a foretaste of that, even as the devils here had to confess that Jesus was the Son of the Most High God. They knew that whatever he said, they had to do it. And I'm telling you, that's how hard Jesus, the Lord, works in borning one of his children again. He's paid a sin debt. When it comes time to quicken his children, he speaks life unto them and they live. He doesn't have a tug of war and a hope that I can get them and convince them to follow after me. If it was left up to us, the Bible says there's none of us. No man can come to me, Jesus said, except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up again at the last day. He also says that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. And if it was up to us to accept or receive these things, now listen, it takes the Lord to work on our hearts and in our minds and gives us faith to be able to believe, be able to trust, be able to confess. Without that, we could never do it. And that is a work of life that's done by God, as he says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. In the writings of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 2 and 1. And before that time, we were what? We were like wild Gadarenes. And that's where we'd have stayed. Nobody else could have got us. Men couldn't do it. They tried, couldn't do it. He asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. Notice that. When did they go? When Jesus said, you can go. That's who's in control. And they couldn't go before. Where did they go? Where Jesus said you are allowed to go. And the scripture says he suffered them to go. He suffered them to go. He suffered it to be for his will and according to his will. Well, I understand. And I do see some things of why that would. Listen, this was spread abroad because of that. His name was honored and glorified because of that. When there was an occurrence, it would have been one thing if he had just removed them and they'd gone somewhere else. But they went into something some people could see. And there were 2,000 swine that went headlong, over jump. It just could look like they would. If you were just looking at this, it looked like all those swine committed suicide. 2,000 of them went right over into the Sea of Galilee and drowned. Shows you listen, if devils will do that to a hog, what will he do? What do they do to men? And don't we see a world influenced by Satan And we sometimes wonder how it could be like it is. Brethren, if it weren't for the grace of God, wouldn't it be a lot worse? If it wasn't for the grace of God and Him holding things back, and His grace holding things and evil back. We need to pray, Lord, please restrain evil. Because evil men are in this world and there are evil spirits in this world. And if we didn't have the Lord, but the good news is we have the Lord. Don't want to scare you tonight, because there's one that's greater in us than in the world. And therefore we can walk in this world putting on the whole armor of God and fight the good fight of faith, trusting in the Lord. And we have everything we need. And matter of fact, we've already won the battle. The victory is over. We have one who's made us more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and there were about 2,000, and they were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city. You know, they had to do some explaining, didn't they? Some explaining to do. This is what happened, but this is why it happened. And listen, we were doing the best we could. Can you imagine what that was? I mean, I know this. See, sometimes we read that and think it's just a story. No, this actually, this is an event that actually occurred. This happened. And this was a picture of the Messiah. This was pointing to the one that was going to come. This was one showing the strength of the Messiah. The one who was stronger than the strong man. Who was able to bind and hold captive the devil. Who had more power than he did. Listen, we don't have a weak Savior. When this happened, it was done in such a way, not like I would have planned it. It was done in such a way that His name was honored and praised and glorified and was carried among people, and many of them who didn't want to hear it, but it was still declared. Tonight, you and I have a story to declare, and there may be people who don't want to hear it, but we're duty bound to declare it. Listen, we have what a friend we have in Jesus. Sing it loud, sing it long, and live it. Because He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy. If men make fun of you, so be it. If men lock you up, so be it. May the Lord bless us to sing praises unto Him until He comes again. And He is coming. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see Him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion. Now listen, this man had to be noted. He was fierce. He lived, and it didn't. And the Bible says in another place, it wasn't just like a day or two he was like this. He was there a long time. The Bible says he was like that a long time. It'd been like someone who'd been there all this. This man had been without help. He'd been in this place a long time. And they saw him. But this time when they saw him, this man that had the legion, here he is. This man who never sat is sitting. Oh my goodness, what a change. You ever seen God make a change in someone's life? Oh, it's an amazing thing. I've seen men who would never take the name of Jesus unless it was in a cursing way. Come to the place they were brokenhearted and wept over it. And didn't want to do anything to bring any offense against His name. And at one time, they didn't have any more concern about Jesus and the things of God than anything in this world. I may be talking to you tonight. But at one time, you would have thought, boy, I don't want to have anything to do with that place. I don't want to have anything to do with... You know, I'm glad. I'll be so glad when I can get away from this religion stuff. I'll be so glad when I can go out in the world and get away from all this. But I'll tell you, there was one who didn't let... Though you were pulling away, there was one who didn't let you go. And there's one who holds you. And I'm telling you, when He worked on this man, He changed him. And there, He touched me. And everything's different. The Bible says it this way. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He is a new creation. Old things, that means the old man. The old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And you and I need to walk in that new man who is renewed daily. And as we renew our minds through the Word and trust Him and lean upon Him, we walk in a way more pleasing to Him. He says here, they saw Him sitting. The one who had the legion. That's the key. He had the legion. Didn't have it anymore because he'd been set free. Sitting and clothed. He had never worn clothes. He's clothed, dressed up. He looks different. It's amazing. He's dressed. He didn't wear clothes. He's dressed now. And he's sitting and he's clothed. And then rather than being crazy, he's got his right mind. Can you look at a time in your life where you were just crazy? I mean, as far as the world was concerned, I'm not talking about maybe in a natural way people thinking you were crazy, but when it came to spiritual things, you didn't have a clue. You didn't understand it. But then when the Lord allows you to see it, you think, oh, I see it so differently. Sometimes we wonder how I couldn't see it, why I couldn't have seen it all along. Listen, it took God to open your eyes to it. And God can open our eyes to it. And God does open His children's eyes to it. And then as He does that, we can thank Him for it. And He was clothed and in His right mind. And when they saw that, they didn't understand. The world doesn't understand the works of God. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. Because listen, 2,000 swine was a whole lot of money, worth a whole lot. Somebody lost a whole lot in the sense of those things. And as a result of that, and they were afraid maybe something else is coming. And there are some things that we do lose in this world in following the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm telling you what, you lose what you can't keep to gain what you can't lose. And that's what I've heard an old elder say many years ago, and it sure helped me a whole lot. There's nothing I've ever had to give up in the service of God that I was going to be able to keep anyway. And there's never been anything I gained that I could even really... Listen, the treasures you have in serving the Lord and following Him are things that moths and thieves can't take from you. There are things that... There are those sweet little blessings and rewards that man can't rob from you. They can lock you up, but they can't take that away. And I'm telling you what you gain in serving the Lord, and it's not a gain in the sense that God owes it to you. It's grace you find in grace. As you walk in the grace of God, you find the riches of His grace awaiting you and the paths that He gives you. It's not where you get to the place where God, I've done my part now, it's up to you, give this to me. No, that's the way the world teaches. What we know is that, and the Bible teaches, is that when you're obedient, there are blessings and obedience that you'll find when you do what God would have you to do. You'll find a blessing in it. It's already a blessing. Not a blessing you get for it, but a blessing you get in it. As you read His Word, there's a blessing in it. As you hear preaching, there's a blessing in it. As you pray, there's a blessing in it. As you trust the Lord, there's a blessing in it. It's not something you get as because of what you did. It's something you get in doing it. And that's the difference between the way man's plan works and God's plan. Isn't God's plan so much better? God's way is so much better. And He said this. They didn't want that. And when he was come into the... They didn't understand. He that had been possessed with the devil... Notice the difference. The world said, get out of here. And the one who'd been touched by the Lord said, stay. Isn't that a way the world is with Jesus? There are some who hear the name of Jesus and hate it. There are others who hear this precious name and hear this gospel preached and they love it. There are those who have an ear tuned to hear it, and there are those who can't see it, can't hear it, can't know it, can't understand it. The eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither is entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. And there was those who said, get out of here. But notice the one who had been touched by the Lord, the one who had come there at the beginning to do harm, all of a sudden is saying something altogether different because he's been set free. When he had come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil, had been possessed with the devil, prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends. I know y'all have heard me talk about this before because it gets on my mind a whole lot of times. When I think about how many friends this man had. How many friends? You know, the Bible says for a man to have friends, he must first prove himself friendly. How many friends do you think this guy had by wearing no clothes, living in the tombs, and troubling everybody he came around? How many friends? How many buddies? Those who tried to help him didn't work at all. You ever had somebody you thought you tried to help and you couldn't help them? Everything you do for them, it just seemed like it didn't work. You do this, they just break that asunder. He was bound under the captivity of the devil. There was no help for him except for Jesus. I'm telling you though, this old man wasn't the same old man. This guy wasn't the same old guy. He had not only been touched by the one who was his only friend, but he had also taken him to a place where now he who had no friends has friends. Because there's others just like him. There's others who've been touched just like him. There's others who've been forgiven and are able to forgive. There's others who understand his condition. Tonight we are among a brethren, I hope, of believers who understand one another. Because if we're anything at all tonight, we're sinners just like the wild Gadarene, saved by his grace. And so if we're able to sing the songs worthily tonight, it'll be because of grace, won't it? If I'm able to walk in baptism, it'll be because of his grace. If I'm able to preach, it'll be because of his grace. If you're able to hear preaching, it'll be because of his grace. If we're able to be heard tonight in the courts of heaven, it'll be because of his grace. And if we get anything today at all that's good and right, and we've been loaded with benefits today. It's all because of his grace. And those who understand that, they are my friends. They're not my friends because I'm so much. But we have companionship with the friend of sinners who gives us friends. He has a family he loves. And he's commanded us to love one another because he picked you and put you in this family. He didn't put you there because you were something. As a matter of fact, he tells us we were all nothing. But he chose us even though we were nothing before the foundation of the world. And he not only made us his friend in that he was our friend, but he gave us all these other friends. And now he said, you go to your friends and you go tell them because they'll understand you. You go tell them what? You tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee. Has the Lord been good to you? You got something to tell. Somebody says, well, I don't have as much to tell as this fellow. You just don't have a clue how much you have to tell till the Lord allows you to really see how good he's been for you. And I don't either. But I'm telling you, I must tell Jesus, but we also want to confess him. We want to talk about him, how good the Lord has been. That's what preaching is. It's just telling how good the Lord, what great things the Lord has done for thee. And he says, and get this. What the Lord had done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. It was love that took a Gadarean and set him at the feet of Jesus in his right mind. It was love that was shown to him. He didn't deserve it. And I'm telling you, it was love that lit. Love lifted me. Love is what came to the dunghills I was in and lifted me out of that dunghill and set my feet upon a rock and put a new song in my mouth, even praises unto my God, and has given me a heart to love him and faith to believe in him and a mouth to confess him and a song in the night that comes to praise him and honor him. If it hadn't been for God's love, I'd still be among the tombs. And he departed. And yes, that's what he did. He departed and began to publish. He's publishing. Where? In Decapolis. How great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. And you know, there was a movement there that when Jesus did come back, there was some people there waiting for him. The ones that I don't know how many of them, but there were those that had said, go away, that later on you can read over in Luke. There were those when he came back, there were those who were glad to see him when he came back because that message had gone forth and the Lord had blessed that message. The Lord had been with those that they might see some things they didn't know otherwise. I appreciate your good attention tonight. I've gone over again. Apologize for that. When you have a mind to pray, remember me. And God bless you. I appreciate you.
177. I love you, my brother. God bless you.